through 19 and James 4, 14. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In James 4, 14, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Pastor Don will give his message on From Thy Seeds, Mighty Oaks, Growing Stronger Through Change. So I hope our hearts will be open for this message.
Thank you.
May these words from my mouth and these meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. So the title for today is From Tiny Seeds to Mighty Oaks, Growing Stronger Through Change. That's quite a title, isn't it? Today we're going to start out talking about change. And it can be tough. And this wasn't planned. It really, really wasn't. When I got here this morning, I'm working in my office, right? And Tracy comes up to me, and hopefully Joel won't be shy or embarrassed that I said this, but Tracy said to me, you know, Joel asked, because she has a hard time seeing the words up there. It's kind of dark. Can you make the print a lot bigger for both the announcements and the order of worship, where a lot of the verses and liturgy is that we say? So sure I can, no problem. So I printed out a separate copy for her. But of course, if you make something bigger, it takes up more pages, and so things aren't always in the same spot you're always looking for. So that's what happens with change, right? Suddenly you're confused, you're looking for something. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, she couldn't find the spot because it wasn't where it always was. And that's what change does do, it, isn't it? That was perfect. Thank you so much. Sermon's over. But that was perfect, just the way it works. But we're going to be talking about change, and that embracing change, it's not just about adjusting to new circumstances, right? Embracing change is about proactively seeking change as a fundamental part of God's plan for our spiritual growth and maturity. Change is about us proactively seeking it so that God can use that to help us grow. From Saul's transformation on the road to Damascus to the incredible change and metamorphosis of the disciples after Christ's crucifixion, the Bible is just full of examples of changes that have happened that have ended up and culminated in a higher and divine purposes, isn't it? So consider just one example, the story of Abraham, who was called to leave his home and go to an unknown land. This wasn't just done for a change in latitude or, you know, you're getting kind of old up there, it's a nice retirement place over here, right? She says, why am I looking at her? Getting kind of old, you know. This is a fun day, isn't it? But it wasn't just about making the move. It was about setting the stage for something bigger to come that Abraham was then going to be able to use that new place as a stepping stone, as a launching pad to bless every family in the world. This shows that God's call to change can be a call for greater blessing and helping us all to more deeply understand his plan. You see, change as it's depicted in the scriptures, it's both a promise, right? But it's also a command. God doesn't just allow change. Many times, he orchestrates it. And he does it in such a way to make sure that the end result is something that will bring us closer to him. Our problem is it's not always a direct route, is it? Sometimes it goes all over the place. It looks like a plate of spaghetti, right? In today's scripture reading, Isaiah tells us to forget the former things. And he doesn't do this because necessarily what has happened in the past is bad. He doesn't do this as some form of amnesia, just to, you know, get it out of your system. But he does it as encouragement not to allow the things of the past to overshadow the new stuff that God is doing in our lives. And he's there waiting for us to be ready to do new things in our lives. And if we're focused on the past or the present, holding on to that, will we miss the new things? Embracing change involves being willing to step out in faith when God calls us, even if the destination is unclear. And trusting that God's direction is perfect and his plans are here to prosper us, not harm us. True change requires a deep trust in God that goes beyond our comfort zones into areas that we're not familiar, but the problem is that's where we're deeply needed. Let's be like Abraham, ready to move at God's command and holding on to the promise that God is always doing something new and is ready and might be ready and waiting for us right now to do something new, bigger, and better. You see, it's in these moments when the future is unclear, though, that our faith is both tested and strengthened. I love this definition of faith. It's given to us by a Christian author by the name of Philip Yancey. And listen to this. He said, faith means believing in advance what can only make sense in reverse. Think about that. Faith means believing in something in advance that only makes sense once you get to the end and you can look back. You see, if it makes total sense before we step out, that's not faith. You've already thought it through. You know the plan. It's there. There's no faith there. You already know how it's going to work out. Faith is when you don't know. You can't see. But we just have to have faith that the new paths that God carves in the wilderness of our uncertainty are leading to fruitful destinations, even when we can't see the end, even if the path is something we'd rather not go down. How can we apply this understanding of change in our daily lives? Well, first of all, it begins by recognizing the signs of God doing things within you and around you. You've got to be paying attention. It could be a shift in our jobs. It could be a new relationship. It could be a new opportunity with our ministry. It's our duty to recognize these signs and respond to them, not with fear, but with faith and openness and trust and maybe even a little cautious enthusiasm. All right, next I'd like to talk about moving forward through change with a little bit of sense of urgency. The second scripture that was read a moment ago that came out of the book of James, it reminds us that really life is fleeting, isn't it? We never know what's happening. He said, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This reminder calls us to seize opportunities that God gives us. We don't have time to just sit on it. Instead of moving forward, we can't get bogged down in stuff of the world. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says this, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, or the days are numbered. This passage is in part a call to understand the urgency of our mission that we've been given, to spread the gospel and live out our faith so others can see and be the light that attracts them to our Lord and Savior. The world around us is in desperate need of hope now more than ever. We've got to look at the news because we've got to know what's going on and what to pray for, but I hate looking at the news nowadays. But the world is in desperate need of hope and the healing that comes through Christ. We can't delay. But this isn't the only call to action that comes out of this. It's also a directive to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? Actively spreading his love and his truth. As we said, we've got to be the light that attracts people. The best example isn't necessarily the best example sometimes, right? Folks, I'm a bug zapper. Come to me, be a bright light, attract people. Just don't zap them in the end, okay? But that's what we want to be. We want to be such a light that people want to come there. They want to be part of it. And then we invite them in and we show them the love of Christ and the peace that can come with a relationship with God the Father. If we allow ourselves to be distracted, bogged down, or even derailed by change, what happens with that mission? What happens to the people that God was putting in our path to attract to him? So we do have to move forward with some sense of urgency. But while doing so, we also make sure that we're in alignment with God's timing, not ours. This balance between action and trust is what forms the core of our journey as we move forward, as individuals and as a body of Christ. We're to be proactive in our faith, yet patient in our expectations, knowing God's timing is always perfect. Anybody have a problem with that besides me? That is so tough. But once we realize that, you know what? We're here, we're watering, we're planting seeds. Everything else is up to God. We just keep doing what we know he wants us to be doing. We move forward with urgency, and it means embracing each day as a gift from God and using it to fulfill the mission he's given us. And then finally, the third part of growing through change is not getting stuck in our traditions and our habits. My dad worked for Kellogg's Company. Anybody heard of Kellogg's? You know, Pop-Tarts, Fruit Loops. Well, he worked there for, I don't know, it was what, 40 years-ish? And he ran a line of ovens. So he's the one that would cook. I mean, this line of ovens, I don't know, I was a kid, but I guarantee you it was 70, 80 foot long. And it was a conveyor that went through these different stages of ovens. And he'd cook Cocoa Krispies, Apple Jacks, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops. Did you know that Fruit Loops, before they go in the oven, they're about yay big? They're smaller than the diameter of a pencil. But when they come in the oven, they start hitting their points here as they go through the oven, and the moisture is baked out of it. It's like popcorn, but in slow motion. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and puffs way out. It was awesome. One of our favorite times of year growing up, Kellogg's would bring in a skeleton crew and make sure everything was still operational, and then let the families, whatever employee worked there, bring their families through and show them every step of the process and then spend extra time on wherever they worked. And we could grab whatever cereal's coming out of that oven right when it's baked. And we'd leave with a case of Pop-Tarts and toys, all those gadgets that they used to put in the cereal. Oh, it was like Christmas time. But one day when I was still in high school, my dad got home from work, and we could tell something was very wrong. He was on edge, right on the very edge of going off on us. And you guys all can sense that with people around you, right? Don't say anything to them. Don't say anything to them. Just stay away. Well, he went out, headed out to the garden out back. It was almost 2 acres in a small town in Michigan. And his peace was found on his knees working in the garden, right? The garden was probably about 50 yards by 50 yards. It was decent size for a little plot, but he'd go out there for hours, and we were hoping he would be better by the time he came back up. But it was given to me to go out and bring him in for dinner, let him know, hey, it's time to eat. So I was kind of worried and nervous as I was walking out there, not sure what I was going to run into, right? But I decided I was going to ask him. So when I got down there, I said, you okay? Is everything all right? And he took a great big breath in, and then he just let it all out, a full day of anger and heightened level of tenseness. And he told me that when he got to work that morning at about 5 a.m., someone had parked in his parking spot. He's almost in tears looking at me. He's this old conservative German guy, standing about this tall. He's just... Now, you need to know, it wasn't like he was an executive and had a parking spot with his name on it. This is just happens to be the spot that he parks his car in the morning. It's a parking spot. Can we ever get caught up into that kind of stuff? I got a question. A lot of you, I can see in my mind where people are sitting. So when you come in here, if you happen to, oh man, I had to get gas on the way in here, so you get in here later, right? You come in here and there's somebody new in the church, like, yes, they're sitting in my seat. Now, are you more excited that we got somebody new in here, or are you more frustrated that they're sitting in your seat? Which one? Amen. Yes. When traditions and our habits hinder our ability to see and act on the new things that God's doing, they become obstacles rather than helpful practices. I'm sure that if we let our defenses down, as I said, not only here in the seats, but we could probably think of other things that impact our day that really aren't that important, but something out of the ordinary, something messed our routine up, and we let it control us. We got to be careful, especially with those type of things that impact our relationship with the body of Christ and with God Himself. How often do we let those things become too important? I love traditions. Gino will let you know I've got an attic full of things I won't let go. They'll probably never come down from the attic. But they've got a label on them. Yes, they do. I love it, but you just can't let them get so important that it can interfere with things that should be much more important. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, we see Jesus saying this. He said, "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." He's talking about the Pharisees and the priests. You see, Jesus challenged some of the traditions of the day in order to reveal a more heart-focused model of worship and relationship with God versus rules and practices. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up our sermon series on why understanding our Jewish roots is important for us to better understand our faith. We took a deviation from it again this week for this particular message. And we'll be talking about some of the parables that Jesus taught. And without spoiling too much for next week, I couldn't go without bringing this one into play today, the Good Samaritan. It fits too well with our message today, so I'm going to bring this up. But before I do that, I'm going to state what I just said a few minutes ago, so it's really fresh in our minds. When traditions and habits hinder our ability to see and act on new things that God's doing, they become obstacles rather than helpful practices. And Jesus said in Mark, "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And finally, Jesus challenged some of the traditions of the day in order to reveal a more important, a heart-focused model of worship and relationship with God instead of holding to the rules and practices. Now, just a few notes about the Good Samaritan. We all know the story really well, I think, right? An Israelite had been robbed and beaten, laying in a road. I believe it was between Jerusalem and Jericho? Don't have it in my notes. And the story goes that there were three people that came upon him. One was a priest, one was a Levite, which oversimplified is kind of like a priest, right? They do services and rites and rituals at the temple. And one was a Samaritan who, although they weren't necessarily enemies, the Samaritans and the Israelites, they hated each other. And the story goes that the Levite comes through and walks on the other side. And walks right past this person who's dying. And the priest, so both the priest and the Levite do the same thing. Get to the other side of the road and walk past him. But the Samaritan, who's supposed to be the person that hates their people, right? They're the ones that stop and help. They're the ones that make a difference in the life of this person that really needed help. Even sacrificed some of his own wealth to do so. And so we get this picture that good and bad, right? The meaning is actually much deeper. You see, the priest and the Levite, they were more than likely on their way to work at the temple, to do service or rituals, things of that sort, at the temple, right? That's important, right? That's what they do. If they were to get too close to someone sick, if they were to be touched by blood, if they were to touch someone who's dead or dying like that, they would be considered unclean and wouldn't be able to perform their ritual until they went through a complete cleansing ritual. So it's not that they're necessarily bad people, but they knew if they got too close to him, they then wouldn't be able to do what they think is important at the church, at the temple. Right? Does that make sense? So the real learning here is Jesus saying, "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. They've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." He's like, what do you mean? That doesn't mean anything compared to helping someone in need. That's the real learning from the Good Samaritan. The rules are man-made traditions. Yes, they're kind of important, but look. It was with that Mark 7, when Jesus just said that, he was specifically talking about, I believe, when the religious leaders approached him about the disciples eating without going through the proper cleansing rituals. It's like, that's not as important as what's going on here. You're going through motions of tradition instead of paying attention to what's really important, people. Jesus challenges some of the traditions of the day in order to reveal a heart-focused model of worship and relationship with God instead of rules and practices. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 37 and 38, Jesus taught that a new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. This parable is a powerful metaphor for the necessity of us being flexible and renewal in our spiritual practices. It warns that being too stiff, too rigid, holding on too tightly to our traditions and habits can prevent us from experiencing the fullness of God's new blessings. It can keep us from seeing the new things that God's doing. As we hold our traditions and practices up, comparing them to Scripture and what we know Jesus expects of us, we should ask ourselves, do these things that we're doing, whether it's individual in your personal life, in your program that you're using to grow spiritually, or as a church, as a body, as a worldwide believers, do these traditions and practices help us grow spiritually? Do they help us to better love other people? Do they help us to better love God? If they do not, it may be time to let these old traditions go or these habits in order to make room for the new things that God is doing. And I'm sure he's got a long list just waiting for us to open up enough space for him to do new things for us and for the kingdom. Maybe it's time to choose to park in a different parking spot. After all, if we're parking in a different parking spot, maybe the other side of the parking lot, and we get out of our car and we start walking to the same building we've gone to for 40 years, you think we might see different things or see the same things differently because we now are seeing it from a different perspective, a different angle? Folks, change is not our enemy. It's a divine tool used by God to shape us and to advance his kingdom through us. Doesn't mean it's not hard. As we close the message today, let's embrace the changes that God brings, moving forward with urgency and hold our traditions and our habits lightly, always ready to grasp the new opportunities that God is just waiting to bestow on us. Let's pray. God the Father, we thank you for your unending faithfulness and powerful word today. We ask that you help us to carry the message of your transformative power in our hearts and in our minds. Give us the courage to move through change, the urgency and the strength to act, and the wisdom to cherish or alter our traditions as you lead us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And now I'm going to ask Lynn to come on up with an announcement. Yes.
Good morning, church family. I want to thank Pastor Don for doing such a great job of introducing my announcement this morning, because it is about change. And today is Announcement Sunday, and all the Methodist churches that are going to be experiencing a new pastor announced that today. And so, effective the 1st of September, we are going to welcome Pastor John Chance. It's actually Dr. John Chance. He's currently an associate pastor in Soapstone Methodist Church in North Carolina. He has his doctorate from Emory, and he is a provisional elder at this time. We are going to be having him join us as a part-time pastor. And we're very excited after seeing his profile and learning a little bit more about him. One of the things that he shared is that he believes there are four principles that he follows in his leadership of a church and in his life. And that is to love God, love people, work hard, and have fun. And I can't think of a better way for all of us to think about living our lives as the way he has. He's also a lifelong Methodist and is from the Orlando area. Now, in conjunction with him joining us in September, we're going to be having a charge conference to ask Don, who's already agreed. We have to vote that we want him to stay in his current role until Pastor John can join us. And also during that charge conference, that we have, SPRC has offered him a part-time position so that he would continue with the church as the executive minister and do the all the fun things that he does outside of just doing pastoral care and messages. So it sounds to me like we will have a wonderful team of people leading our church once Pastor John joins us. And I'm excited about it, and so is SPRC. So he has done a short video for us to introduce him to you, along with his wife. And so if we could tee that up in the back, please.
Hello, Ocoee Oaks United Methodist Church. My name is John Schantz, and I'm so excited to be the next pastor of Ocoee Oaks United Methodist Church. This is my spouse, Austin.
Hi, I'm Austin. I'm so looking forward to meeting all of you. I'm finishing up my training at UNC, and then I'll start as internal medicine faculty at Advent when we move. This is our dog, Stella, and she is ecstatic to meet all of you.
Austin and I are both from Orlando originally. Austin grew up in College Park. I grew up at Hunters Creek, and so we're excited to be back home. And we're also just excited to meet you all. One of the things that I try to remind myself going into a new community is just the joy that I will feel in meeting you all. While Austin has been in residency, I have been an associate pastor at a church in Raleigh, North Carolina called Soapstone United Methodist Church. And I've also been teaching at Duke Divinity School some, and while working with an organization that was started in Orlando called Agua Viva Serves. So we are just so excited to meet you all, and we will see you soon, and just know that we are praying for you, and we are looking forward to meeting you.
So as we move forward, we'll let you know the date of the charge conference so we can go ahead and vote on Don's extension. And I hope we will all be praying for our new pastor and his family as they join us in September. Thank you.